Afternoon, everybody. Hans will be here in a minute, but I think. No authority at all.
No, Jody knows.
That's the most astute thing you've said. Wow.
So we go on to agenda item number 14. And regardless.
Can I remind everybody about our gentle courtesy to the newcomers?
Okay.
What's your first name?
Raghava.
Good afternoon. The purpose of this meeting is to update you about our plan for the research project, the research activities that we have conducted till now, and to seek your comments and feedback on the paper. We plan to start with understanding the issues which have been raised by EFRAG in their discussion paper and the issues discussed by some of the national standard setters like the Korea Accounting Standards Board, hold meetings with some of the interested parties who expressed interest in this project, mainly the accounting firms and the national standard setters, and to gather information about the different types of group restructurings and the related accounting issues and challenges, identify subtopics for the research, prepare research papers to be presented to you, and then finally release a discussion paper. So going by the plan, we've basically understood the issues raised by EFRAG, the Korea Accounting Standards Board, and some of the other national standard setters. And we are holding meetings and continuing to hold meetings with the interested parties to gather the required information. The issues raised by the interested parties have generally been on the same lines as have been raised in the past. However, some of the interested parties have highlighted the need to prioritize those group restructurings which involve capital raising, for example, creation of a new co. The Interpretations Committee did not address the issue where a parent uses a new entity to transfer business and have an effective sale through an IPO, and recommended that the IASB should consider the issue as part of the Common Control Transactions Project. The IOSCO submitted a paper expressing concerns on the diversity in practice and accounting for such transactions in the books of NewCo and requested you to provide guidance on such transactions. Another issue not included in the paper that came out of the ongoing discussions is also a need to provide guidance on accounting in the books of Transferor in a business combination under common control. So we would also like your views about whether we can prioritize those group restructurings where a new co is involved. And based on the work that we have done till now, we've identified the following subtopics for research. So what entities are directly affected due to the absence of specific guidance on business combinations under common control? What are the most common forms of group restructurings? So we aim to collate a pictorial representation of all of those common forms of restructurings. Analysis of the definition of common control. Are the features of business combinations under common control different from other business combinations between unrelated parties? And use of pushdown accounting. So we request your views on our plan, the NewCo issue, and the subtopics that we have identified for research.
Philippe. A couple of remarks. Thank you, Raghava. I think it's a good approach overall. In terms of process for identifying the information that we need for proceeding, I think you should add on point two and number six some discussions with market regulators. I know that IOSCO Committee 1 has been doing some work, and also within ESMA there are certain authorities which I think have a lot of experience with dealing with market transactions that involve this kind of combinations, spin-offs, new co's, etc. So that to identify the needs of the users, I think they would be very helpful in that aspect. In terms of scope, I read somewhere I know that you don't seem to recommend that we should do it, but under 13, you know that some firms would like that we extend the work to include other transactions between entities under common control. That means not business combinations, but other kinds of transactions.
Yes.
And I'm very, very worried of scope creep here. I think we should resist that. We have a standard on related party transactions. We have a question on business combinations under common control. I'm not sure there is a big demand by most most users and preparers to address at large transactions between those entities, because in most cases they will be eliminated in consolidation. So what's really the purpose of looking at that? Is it for the books of the individual financial statements? It's not our priority, I think, to deal with individual financial statements. Yes, I think new calls, when they are formed with a view to be a spin-off or to raise capital, are the key point, I think, to start with. I'm not sure that intra-group reorganizations are of great interest or great priority, because in most cases they will be eliminated in consolidation. So it's only when they result in one entity leaving the group or losing control of that entity that there is probably some issues which are maybe not very different from creating a new co. And you mentioned in many instances the pooling of interest in your table here. We no longer have pooling of interest, so why is FRAG on KSB bringing that? What's the purpose here? I'm not sure I understand why.
I think the scope here is great. I think it's ambitious. This might turn into quite a lengthy project, but I laud your outline here of what you're trying to tackle. This is a substantially converged standard with the U.S., and so we've been talking recently in the context, for example, of fair value measurement, about the importance to try to maintain as converged as possible. Some of the topics that we touch on in here are subjects in the U.S. literature on business combinations. Some of it relates to SEC literature on business combinations. And so I guess my question is, how do we stay substantially converged on these topics, or is that not a consideration right now? Are you going to be working closely with the FASB staff along the way just to keep them informed? Just curious.
Yep, we will be in close contact with the FASB staff, because right now the EITF is considering an issue on pushdown accounting which relates to this project, so we will be in close contact with them and monitoring the updates on their part.
How are we converged if we don't have a standard?
By adopting the standard.
I accept IFRS 3, which this has implications for, but
right.
Would this involve any change to IFRS 3?
I'm assuming it would. That may be a bad assumption.
Well, it may be part of IFRS 3, but
in terms
of transactions currently within the scope of IFRS 3, are we going to change that?
At the moment, the thought process is only to understand the basic features of business combination under common control and try understand what the problem is. Once we define the problems, then we will decide whether there is a need for giving guidance on those transactions and whether IFRS 3 needs to be amended or not.
And I take Patrick's point to be that we could be quite specific about some of the characteristics and specify one accounting method. And it's not the same as the one that FASB has. And so it's not, at the moment, you can't say we're converged, because you analogize and pick and choose, but we could actually prescribe something that causes a stronger difference, if anything. And that's something we just have to be conscious of.
Yeah. This is the research phase, so I mean, yeah. We can, yeah.
That's it. Ego?
I'm not sure how will you do this research and how to organize the research. I will strongly suggest you to include the Chinese friends in. It's because for historic reasons, there are so many business combination and the common control. So current Chinese standards split into two chapters. One under common control, another one is not under common control. But in the past 10 years, the whole economy become much more market-oriented. They already recognize to have a clear cut seems not logical. So they are thinking about how to improve the standards. And so I would strongly suggest you, I don't know how to organize, so firstly, if you were have some participants, you know, we invite them to participate.
We did speak to the Chinese standard setters and we are in contact with them.
Jan?
If we go back a little bit in time, and I've been here some time now, I think we do a lot of mistakes. If we look on our projects like leasing or insurance or revenue, we have spent a lot of time in the end of the project of learning about the basics. I think we have learned a lot towards the end, but we also made a lot of mistakes before we do the learning. And when we talked about the agenda consultation, we said, let's see if we can change it a little bit. And I think this is a very good example now of sort of setting our way of working, really establish procedures and process whereby we do the basic research and really thoroughly do that, starting by defining what are problems to solve, opportunities we're trying to grasp, interact, as Philippe said, with users, trying to say, how is this information used to make economic decisions? You make use of academics, if they are interested, and most likely they are. And then come out, before we do discussion paper, with sort of clear, identified solutions. So we don't sit there 3 years down the road and say, whoops, we didn't know about that, we didn't think about that. So I think we should spend a lot of time, a lot of effort in this phase before we move into the details. And so I think you can elaborate a little bit more on this. What problems, what opportunities, academics and users, I think that's important.
If I may add to that, maybe we should look at a few case studies. There have been on the market a number of transactions in the past 10 years. Some are very prominent, and to have a look how it went, what was the situation before and after, how users reacted to the information, I think that would be very good case study before we proceed.
Mary?
I think echoing some of Pat's caution about this, when I look at the list, and I think it's something like just push down the issues of how do the mechanics work in certain situations, and also when must you, may you, and may you not apply it. And these are things that I've seen in U.S. context chew up huge amounts of time. And similarly, the issue of defining what a control group is, you know, for determining who's under common control. That's not to say don't do it. I think this is right, but just don't underestimate the significance of those two aspects. And because I can see how this could really mushroom, I think the idea that you propose of focusing on the category of transactions that has given rise to the most questions in reporting, consolidated accounts, listed companies, is the right focus. The ones involving some kind of offering, fundraising, and it's really the question of establishing the basis on which the formation transaction is reported in the financials. Back to another point that Philippe mentioned about paragraph 13 and the request to also consider non-business transactions that are not business combinations between entities under common control. I think we have to be careful not to create confusion where there is not any, because we have the issue for under IFRS 3 because there's a specific scope exclusion in that standard. For the other transactions, there is no, off the top of my head, I cannot think of any applicable scope exclusions from existing standards, so that we don't, I think, want to create any impression that there's no guidance, and it's something for which there are no requirements today, and we're not addressing it now, but rather we are not going to consider whether to create a special regime for other common control transactions, because we don't consider it a priority. And I think just consistency in the messaging communication around that will avoid creating diversity where there, you know, when it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And if it does exist, maybe flag up the problem. So that's two comments about how we think to proceed, because I think there is a tremendously large project here, even with it focused on most significant issues, but we've certainly had a lot of feedback that this is a problem and not just in the separate financial statements of entities within a group.
Gary?
This is a really important project. Was involved in somewhat similar things in a couple of prior lives. The one thing, building on for Jan, was I think we should try to talk to, maybe not as a full group, perhaps as your project team, some M&A deal people, you know, who actually do the deals, you know, not the, this is all input from essentially accounting and financial reporting groups, but the, whether it's an M&A lawyer or an investment banker, people actually have bought and sold and reorganized companies, I think, would be extremely useful, because I can see scope creep exploding on you, and I think we don't want to do that, and the way to do it is, what are the most common transactions, you know, with in our constituencies, the most common forms, I should say, and not go into ones that are not. I think in terms of the measurement principles, I think this word probably would fit in here in your list. Like, I'm going to believe that in time we're going to be dealing with non-monetary transactions, and we're going to start thinking fair value and a combination accounting about within a controlled group. Some of the things you might put on the balance sheet in a business combination that would not be put on the business combination, that would not be in your balance sheet otherwise, you know, when you're into the intellectual property and items at an expense that you might value in business combination. So if it was a controlled group in the beginning, and it's the controlled group at the end, now you're into having a step up in basis for things previously expensed. I think that's going to probably, in time, will make it to your list. So.
Doc? Yes, the difficulty of this project is, although IFRS is mainly focusing on consolidated financial statements, we need to address the separate financial statements. And in the case of separate financial statements, in each jurisdiction, they have their own company act and their taxation. And especially in the case of common control, there are a variety of tax scheme in each jurisdiction, like Weigel mentioned. So therefore, in the outset of this project, it is very important for us to have a good research on each jurisdiction's tax scheme for this common control. Otherwise, we would see the unintended consequences. That is a very important point. And the other thing I think important is timetables, especially interaction with the PIR, post-implementation review of IFR3. So could you give me some idea what kind of timetable do you have, and what is the interaction between PIR of IFRS3?
Yep. Initially, we thought to have this project, the research project, to go along with the post-implementation review of IFRS3. But most of the interested parties have requested not to mix this project with the post-implementation review of IFRS3, because they needed much more time to have these discussions and then highlight these issues and not to dilute the importance of the issue along with the PIR of IFRS3.
If we were to study the tax regimes in the world, it would take a couple of years.
Yeah.
Mm. I was going to comment on Pat's comment on convergence. You know, we're moving from bilateral to multilateral, you all know that, but on the other hand, we've got converged standards, and I guess your point was, we might be fiddling with three, and if we did that, how do we keep it converged? Right. And that's really the thin end of a bigger question, isn't it, of how we keep our standards, our now converged standards, converged as we go through. And we're sort of using revenue recognition as a bit of a test case if we can ever get it finished. to work out how we might work together in the future. But if we're going to do new things, and this isn't part of three, which not going with the post-implementation review sort of indicates, I mean, it might end up as an addition to it. How do we regard convergence in that situation? We'll have to talk about it.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you don't want to throw 10 years of work down the tubes, I think, without really considering, you know, because it took quite a while to develop. Well, I don't know how long it took to develop three. I wasn't here then, but it was quite a long time. At least that's
Alan,
yeah. So
good standard.
Excellent. A quick comment on Tack's suggestion of studying tax regimes around the world in terms of these transactions. I think maybe more along the lines of getting some input from people who are structuring transactions in considerations, maybe getting high level, but I think if we ask the staff to undertake a thorough study of tax regimes around the world, we are talking about an enormous task. And I don't know where it proves counterproductive. I think pretty soon.
I suspect the tax regime is more about the incentive to do restructurings, and I suspect there'd be internal reorganizations, and that's why you get a proliferation of subsidiaries in some jurisdictions for tax reasons. Whereas at least with the spin-off issue, we're trying to understand what the economic motivation is for a particular type of transaction. So I'm not convinced that understanding all the tax incentives and tax regime is going to help us in a way it shouldn't even really influence us, other than helping us understand what the motivation is.
Because just to add, one issue that we've considered is, I guess we may get into the, you know, transfer pricing issues if we start to get into the tax issues, was one of the concerns that we've discussed when we started the project. So,
one other observation, your last preliminary list of topics, 17E, push-down accounting, from my experience, has been sensitive, not in consolidated financial statements, not in separate financial statements as it's defined under IFRS, but in the separate financial statements of the subsidiaries. So, and I didn't see that listed in your scope, unless it's subsumed under being by 17E. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, because some of the interested parties did request for guidance on fresh start accounting and what are the circumstances when fresh start accounting can be used. So we included push-down accounting as a topic, not to be biased about whether it should be included or it should not be included, just to see whether it is relevant or stands as a concept and to research about the push-down accounting in general.
Any other comments or suggestions? No? Okay, thank you very much. Good luck.
See you in about 3 years.
By the way, this is another good example where we cooperate.